Welcome to Going Rogue, the podcast for clear-eyed rebels and utopia preppers. I'm here as always with the rogue journalist, Caitlin Johnston. I'm Caitlin's worst half, Tim Foley. Caitlin.
G'day, Tim.
How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm pissing people off again.
Ah, Caitlin.
I'm sorry.
You would think that that was like what you do for a living or something.
You would think that that was my whole entire job.
So, who is it this time? The lefties, the liberals,
no,
the neocons?
The Q people.
The Q people?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I know. What sweeties?
What precious little lambs.
I know. I mean, oh, my God. And the more I talk about it, the worse it gets. This is bizarre. The whole thing is really, really, really nutso. It's like entering... You know, because I've just been watching from the outside, and it feels like from the outside, everyone's kind of been zombifying a little, you know? Like, there's this kind of like, you'll say something about Trump against Trump's warmongering, and then there's this kind of, trust the plan, the great awakening, don't worry about a thing, trust our president, patriotism, blah, blah.
So yeah, it's so weird that this faction that claims to be fighting the deep state is actively defending, aggressively defending blatant deep state agendas.
Yeah, that's the actual beauty of it, really. Like Susie Dawson did a wonderful tweet storm where she showed how gorgeous this PSYOP is, and just like all the moving parts of it and how they have managed to take the energy of the 4chan, 8chan, you know, LARPing sort of Trumpster crowd, which was the energy that launched Trump into the White House, and has been the energy of, you know, the weaponized autists who have like would just like they would totally
the ones that would comb through the WikiLeaks documents and stuff.
They
and
were fantastic.
Look for anything.
Yeah.
Anything vaguely incriminating.
Yeah.
To Clinton. Yeah.
Yeah,
so and it's sort of like they created this thing to do exactly that. They were like they saw the whole weaponized autist thing for the way they used the WikiLeaks documents, and they were and some clever monkeys were like, how do we do that again? How do we make one of those for us?
Yeah.
How do we make that work for us?
Right.
Because what Q is, for our listeners who are unfamiliar with this, it's an anonymous, probably multiple people, who post these extremely vague messages that just sort of push people in a direction. And then you've got all these 4chan users, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of them, go just combing through all the information that's available on that topic, and they bring stuff forward, and they say, oh, well, look, I found this thing, and the numbers line up with this thing that Q said, or the letters are the same as the letters in this, and it's like a code, and they act like they're cracking a code. It's this very...
Gamification was
very,
the word.
Yeah, it's very gamified.
Yeah, it is very gamified, and it looks like a lot of fun, honestly.
Yeah.
And it's a way to like, take those, you know, off... Like, I guess, you know, 4chan, 8chaners, a lot of them would play games and they'd be good at that stuff. Mm. And so they've really thrown everything. They're all in on this. But the thing is, they only ever look at Trump's enemies. They only ever look the way of the Democrats. They only ever...
Which is a really kind of enfeebled party at this point.
Like, right? There's not much left of them.
Really, if you wanna, if you're looking for the real nasty stuff that's happening, it's happening right now.
Yes,
you don't
under
need
the
to,
Trump administration.
You didn't need to keep going back to 2016, 2015, and looking at the fucking Awan brothers and the Lynch tarmac meeting, Zach Haller. There's stuff happening right now that you can look at.
Oh, I love Zach, but he totally has drunk the Kool-Aid, hasn't he?
He just, I don't know. I think Alan Smithy kind of kept him grounded, and then when he died, he just went off the deep end.
Smithy would be so snooty about it. Wouldn't he be, he would not like any of this.
Yeah, and people would try to bully him into falling in line, and he would make a lot of enemies on that side of the political spectrum.
Yeah, I actually think, I mean, I miss him a lot, but I really miss him right now. His energy would have been really good right now just to cut through all this bullshit, because there's actual real things happening right now. We don't have to go way back into the past. Like, you know, John Bolton is just a nightmare in and of himself. But the Q people have nothing to say about that. Like,
right. No, Q never says, hey, maybe look into John Bolton's past.
Right.
Find out, did he threaten a man's children to help start a war based on his own lies yeah. that killed a million people?
Yeah.
Did he say, we know where your children live?
Right. See, that's an interesting story. Yeah. That's a rabbit hole in and of itself.
There's so much you could plunge into that, and a lot of conspiracy buffs are doing it. The ones that are a little more seasoned that didn't get sucked into the, I think the QAnon thing suckered in a lot of conspiracy noobs.
Yeah, I felt that too. And like, because, you know, 4chan, when those things started rolling in, the QQ things with that apricot background, which anyone who's been around knows to ignore. It's just like, oh, right. Lies here.
Yeah.
Whatever's the, like, it's apricot, therefore it's lies.
Hey, wow, I got some exciting news about Seth Rich. Oh, you do? Let me see. This apricot thing right here. Oh.
Damn.
Okay. I thought you were saying a real thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was that. I was, you know, people were shoving these things in my face and I was like, yeah, nah. 4chan, no thank
it's,
you.
It's an anonymous troll message board.
Yeah, and they're fantastic.
They do shit like that all the time.
They're really, really fucking good at it. That's the other thing. They're extremely high. They're so good at that. They're really good at trolling people.
Yeah,
that's
really great LARPs. If you really want to just get sucked into a fake story and pretend that this person is going down a tunnel. And, oh no, what's at that tunnel? I'm really worried for you. Oh no, the guy stopped commenting.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They've memes, been perfecting it for years.
If you
and years.
Want memes, that's the. I mean, most of the best memes that you see.
From 4chan.
Especially if they're pro Trump memes. That's where they bubble up from.
So, yeah, anyway, the article is called WikiLeaks Calls QAnon a Likely Pied Piper Operation. So, this all stemmed from a tweet that WikiLeaks. It was replying to a tweet by Roseanne Barr. So Roseanne Barr, you know.
She's always shaking things up.
She is always, yeah, yeah. She was one of my, remember she was my first blue check follow.
Right.
That was the weirdest thing to me.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah, I only had like 3,000 or 4,000 followers, like, and I'd been following back everyone. Like, I was still at that kind of stage. Mm. And she just popped out of nowhere and followed me. I was like, wow. Well, hello. She's always reminded me of my mother, right?
Yeah, so, she reminds me of just like your next door neighbor grandma lady who like is like, hey, you know, your boy doesn't like girls. What? He's 9. Yeah, he's gay.
No, I'm not saying that's like my mother, but it's a bit like my mother. So, yeah. Anyway, so she's been very alternative in her political views for a long time now. So that was a long time ago. And she was before the show and everything. So you know, and the show has catapulted her into the spotlight.
You mean before the show came back?
The show came back. Sorry, yeah. The reboot.
Mm.
So, anyway, she tweeted out, where is Julian Assange? Hashtag Assange. And it got 3.6K retweets, 11K likes. And WikiLeaks returned saying, gagged and isolated as a result of the Trump administration's betrayal of the Constitution and the demands of those who voted for it. Justiceforassange.com. And Roseanne replied, simply, BS. And so WikiLeaks was like, coming, you know.
Like, how do you respond to that?
Like, WikiLeaks should know whether or not Julian Assange is okay.
What do you know, WikiLeaks? What would you know about Julian Assange?
I have been reading many, many apricot screenshots. And I think that you're wrong.
I'm a bit of a 4chan connoisseur.
Yeah, or 8chan at this stage, isn't it? But like, well, what color is the 8chan background?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I mean, anyway, this analysis, this is WikiLeaks, unfortunately, increasingly appears that it may be correct. And go WikiLeaks. They retweeted Susie Dawson's epic thread that I was just talking about before, which details beautifully just how it is a psyop, how it's a classic psyop. So you have a Pied Piper who drags everyone in. This is an insider and he has information that, you know, you don't know. And then you apply gamification, make it all kind of fun for people and stuff. And then you start pivoting towards your state, you know, your actual agendas.
And Susie would know a thing or two about psychological operations, wouldn't she?
A little, yes, because she's been subject. She's been the subject of many of them. Like, particularly the Occupy people, especially, were
heavily infiltrated.
Heavily infiltrated and targeted for all sorts of nasty psyops and harassment and things like that. So, we're only really starting to discover the extent of that because people are starting to come out about it and say, you know, my life was ruined post Occupy. And I always just thought it was bad luck. And now people are starting to corroborate their stories. And it's
right. No, it's really was bad. Not a coincidence that you found your door unlocked and your little notebook of Occupy things torn up
or whatever.
And nothing else touched.
Yeah. Or your phone taken off your bedside table, while you were sleeping. Shit like that. Crazy, crazy, crazy shit. Anyway, so Susie does know a lot about this, and because she did that awesome video, I think it's called Diary of a Target or something like that.
I don't remember because there's been a few people talking about it, and they all get mixed up in my head.
Right. Yeah. Well, she did. She did. I think one of the first videos where she just described her harassment and what had been happening to her, and so people since then have been, you know. She's been kind of a lightning rod for everyone going, holy shit, the screw loose, you know, the loose screws lying around the house and all these like little tactics that that not just our government will use, but like these are private operations now. You know, a lot of this stuff has been privatized. So this intelligence services and you can see ads on, you know, on Facebook and like you can apply to be one of these harassers.
Well, that's what Black Cube is, right?
Black Cube
has been in the news. They were hired by Trump personally, like to dig up dirt on the Iran deal,
and by Harvey Weinstein to dig up dirt on Rose McGowan.
Right.
So these are ex Mossad agents. You know, this is high end stuff. But there are smaller, like mum and pop operations who basically. It's become quite a business. Because,
can we do that?
Oh, I don't want to do that. Yuck.
That would be fun, though.
Oh, no, it would not be fun.
You don't
want
to open a mom and pop psyop store with me?
No, I do not want to. I don't want to hurt people.
Tim and Caitlin's psyops. Tim and Caitlin's psyops shop.
I can't think of anything more gross.
The psyop shop. It rhymes.
Well, yeah, that's true. But no, it has this...
Mom and Pop Psyop Shop. I got it. I got our marketing.
Well, there's hella money for it because, you know, governments keep throwing money into anti-terrorism, spy laws and blah, 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 blah. You know, they've got unlimited budgets and they can't handle it themselves. And so they do outsource to these private companies. And that's where it gets crazy because private companies... They're not going to pick on the tough targets, you know, the guys who are armed or who actually are making bombs or whatever. They pick the soft targets, you know, the young women with kids or the single women or, you know, the single men who are like, you know, basically just hippies who thought that the banks should be broken up. Like, clearly not going to be a danger to whoever they assign it to. So... capitalism has taken over there and created a really bad situation.
And that's why Dawson had to flee to Moscow.
Yeah, she first she went to Germany and she was still harassed there. So she actually had to
leave the empire.
Yeah.
It's so weird how that is. It's almost like moving from New Zealand to moving to Germany, with you were still in basically the same country.
Right. Isn't that subject strange?
To basically the same forces.
Yeah.
And you had to actually leave that empire and go into a country that isn't part of it in order to be safe.
Right. So that's where we're at now. Anyway, so she does have some insight and knowledge on that.
Yeah, so she wrote this epic thread about QAnon and why it's likely fake. She pointed out that, like, you know, the media doesn't really target it. There's no, like, aggressive campaign against it from, like, you know, with the Syria people, for example, our friends like Beely and Bartlett and Tim Hayward and anyone who writes contrary to the establishment Syria narrative gets attacked, like, on a daily basis. There's the Guardian's cranking out these materials talking about what evil monsters they are for not loving the white helmets.
Yeah.
And so they're clearly doing something that is against establishment interests. They don't really do that with the QAnon thing. Like,
I haven't seen a single mainstream thing.
There have been a couple, but only when it, like, when Roseanne pushes it into the news or something, when she forces it, and then they'll say, all right, well, here's well, that thing. And
this is why she's saying that. Yeah.
This is why Republicans are stupid.
Right, yeah.
But it's not like an aggressive, nonstop, self-fueled campaign. It's always reactive, it doesn't come up that much.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you know when you're over the target, you really do catch a lot of flack. Like,
right. The Syria people, very obviously over the target. Edward Snowden, very obviously over the target. Julian Assange, very obviously over the target, because they're constantly getting hit pieces made about them.
Yeah. I think anti-war stuff, too. I like that.
That's like the thing, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yeah.
For some reason, that's the thing that requires the most aggressive propaganda campaigns.
Well, because it's so unnatural, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, people just don't want to kill other people. That right. You really do need to like, break people's brains to make that okay.
Yeah.
So you can't have anyone saying, hang on, I think we should be not killing people. Because that just makes common sense to, like, you know, that'll get traction quickly.
Enter QAnon.
Right, exactly.
You can't have the populist right going, hey, Trump, you know, it looks like you've got a standing regime change policy against Iran. I think that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Destabilizing Iran is probably not a good idea. If we thought the Syria refugee crisis was bad, imagine what will happen if a civil war erupts in Iran with a bunch of CIA covert ops and MEK terrorists.
Yeah. Right.
John Bolton's friends.
Yeah. See, and this is where we're at, because there was a huge anti-war, anti-interventionist feeling behind the Trump campaign. And so I held out the hope that we could draw upon that when, you know, when the deep state finally did get its fingers into Trump and started puppeting like they do every other fucking president. Like, this is not... There's no shame in this. This just happens. They are extremely powerful. Yeah. Six ways from Sunday, as Chuckie Schumer said.
Right.
Like, they will get their way with the president. And so as soon as that started happening, I was hoping there would be pushback. But by that stage, Q had really sort of got its fingernails underneath the movement.
Yeah, no, and it turns out that it's actually a brilliant strategy and brilliant strategic maneuver to do all of the horrible things that he's doing.
Yeah, you know.
Right. And also, brilliant strategy for the Trump administration to be actively pursuing the arrest of Julian Assange.
Yes. So, yeah, that's incredibly... annoying. Because right now we should be yelling from the rooftops that Julian Assange needs to be set free.
Well, I've got some great news for you, Caitlin. I know you're worried about Julian Assange. You don't have to worry anymore, because it turns out he's in Switzerland just chilling out, drinking hot chocolate and walking around in snowshoes and just being a happy little Switzerland guy.
Well,
enjoying a full presidential pardon.
You should let your Q buddies know that another Q buddy of yours told me that That's not even true. That Snowden killed him. I'm not joking. That's actually what happened. That was when I was just like, oh, God. Oh, please, God, no.
How do you even respond to that? That's like, if you can't even agree what reality is.
Parallel universes. I feel like, yeah, we're not even, I'm saying this is a chair and you're saying it's a table. Like,
That's point.
That's what I was, like, this has been all day today, all day. I've been, like, kind of wrestling with these insane concepts.
Right, like, yeah, and it's like trying to debate having a philosophical debate with someone, and then all of a sudden he goes, yeah, well, I am Mormon and I get my own planet.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm just going to lay down on the floor then, because there's nothing to be done.
And I really wish I could get back the last half hour of my life.
Yeah.
Because we don't live on the same planet. And it's like Q is just a you know, when you enter into it, and from the outside, it just looks like people like coming up to like the Walking Dead saying, trust the plan, you know. But when you try and talk to people about it, and I've tried a couple of times with this, like I put a tweet like out a couple of months ago saying, you know, all right, I'm going to write about this. Give me your best evidence. And everyone was like, oh, evidence, well, you know, not...
You have to, like, sort of just immerse yourself into it over the period of several weeks or months.
Yeah, it's more a feeling. It's right. Like, you can't really quantify Q in terms of facts.
Yeah, it doesn't work that. It's so weird, like, if you want to know about the migratory patterns of the humpback whale, people can tell you, oh, well, here's the information about that. Here's what proves that that happens. Here's raw data for you. But if you say, if you want to say, tell me about this, what's your best case for it? They just get really defensive and angry.
Yeah.
And like, how dare you ask for evidence of our faith?
Yes. Well, it is. It's just the same as if you ask someone for evidence, you know, like... someone in the Osho cult, like, you know, what's so special about Osho or whatever, like it's cultish sort of faith-based thinking, fine, but you know, even within their universe there is so little agreement on what the real things are inside their world.
And anything you criticize, anything you say, like, oh, I get Q people coming up and telling me this, they'll just run in and say, well, they don't say that. Q never said that. Okay, well, Q never says anything.
Yeah.
Q says, like, letters and numbers and a bunch of extremely cryptic, vague comments, and you guys just run off and form belief systems about that.
Yeah. In kind of like a...
So that's not actually an argument. Yeah, all you're saying is that this thing that you're doing makes people stupid.
Yeah, but it also does make it hard to debate because that person like ran in, they said, like, what would you like Trump doing? And I said, pardon Assange. And he's like, Snowden killed Assange. And I was like that for about an hour. Like, I mean, what do you do? So they've got no, there's nothing you can engage there. So like, because I even retweeted that saying, this is what's happening here. And people ran in and say, well, we don't say that. Q people don't say that.
You demonstrably do.
So it's just wishy-washy, jimby-jimby,
yeah.
Plot planned. Like,
but also, it always, 100% of the time, without exception, works out nicely for the executive branch of the U.S. government.
Yeah.
Yeah, way to be rebels, guys. You're just a servant to the man. Not me. I support the executive branch of the United States government. I support Jeff Sessions. and the President of the United States.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that just makes you a sucker, dude.
And just like every other sucker, like this is how we got here, was that we trusted those people.
So on one side of the aisle, you got the Russiagators saying that the CIA and the FBI are going to save us.
Yeah.
And now it's like, no, those people are ridiculous. Mike Pompeo is going to save us. Based Mike Pompeo.
Oh, God.
The Secretary of State.
Right. Fuck. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, the State Department, that bastion of freedom and liberty.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's... What else? Like...
So WikiLeaks. Oh, and yeah, and WikiLeaks retweeted your article, and they said they think it's their theory. Yeah, they think it started out as a LARP, and then it's either at risk of being co-opted and being made into a PSYOP, or it has already.
Right.
So there's that, and yeah, there's just been so much backlash against this because that just launched the whole thing into their crosshairs, and now they're all saying all this stuff, and I guess Q had told them all people are gonna start criticizing now. Oh no, they're criticizing our ideas. They're such snowflakes about it too.
Yeah,
it's really like they're like, oh, Caitlin, you're alienating your allies of what are you helping exactly? Who are you?
They're certainly not anti-war allies anymore.
No. What do I need you for? What do you? You're saying you're gonna alienate their anti-war people, but like the war stuff is happening right now, and it's being called 4D chess.
Yeah, and they're completely ignoring it and hushing me all the time. There's this inertia, this kind of like blah inertia that comes in every time I try and talk about the escalations, you know, the various escalations of the Trump administration in various parts of the world towards war. And anytime I try and talk about it, and you get this blah, this
right, right, vomit. Yeah. I mean, like the lefties totally get what you're saying, and the critical thinking independents get what you're saying. A lot of the libertarians get what you're saying, but all these QAnon people, it's all just like, no, Caitlin, go back to sleep.
And that, stop ringing, you know, that bell. Like, yeah, and that would be okay if it was just those people. But of course, we're all hopeful creatures, you know, and this situation that we found ourselves, we've woken up into something pretty fucking bad. This is nightmarish. Like, I had no idea how bad it was and how deeply corrupt everything is and how the opposite of health, like, all our institutions are. And we're expecting these things to save us from, you know, our impending human extinction. So it's bad. I get that it's bad. But so when they come in saying things like that, trust the plan, etc., people who are reading onwards, like, they got other shit to do. They've got bills to pay. Like, it's so bad out there. Like, you know, everyone is like hand to mouth. Of course, they're going to go, oh, all right, I'll trust the plan. That seems easier to me. Why not? Let's not. I'll look
right
in between, you know, making the effort to make a noise and trusting the plan. This guy seems to think it's all going to be okay. And fuck it. I've got, you know, mouths to feed and a job to do. So, yeah, I think it's pernicious. I think it's not just from the Q people who are deeply obsessed with it, but also just in general, the enthusiasm towards actually fucking fixing these things right now needs to be at a peak, and it's at a trough.
Yeah, and then so you get people coming in saying, Caitlin, don't say that. You'll alienate allies. You'll alienate anti-war people, which really at this point is basically like saying, you know, you found some spoiled milk in the refrigerator, and then say, don't throw away that spoiled milk, then you won't have any milk to drink. It's like, what? I mean, it's not doing me any damn good. It's worthless. If you're going to keep excusing his bullshit with Iran, his bullshit with Syria, his bullshit with Russia, his bullshit with Yemen, if you're just going to make excuses for every single fucking thing and treat him like he's this plucky underdog who's teaming up with the Prime Minister of Israel and the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia to fight the machine.
None of it makes sense. None of it makes sense in the real world. Like, you know, you really have to change everything about reality to make it seem true. Obviously, because and that's part of the problem is that they, you know, like when you ask them about it, they either get kind of ashamed of their babble and quiet down and just like, just have faith and you go look, you know, they accuse you of being like
uninformed
or lazy, you know, you're like, who, what are you, a journalist? You go and have a look.
So it's like, no, I don't actually need to go and read every one of the millions and millions of QAnon posts to know that every single time I try to criticize the Trump administration, you guys come in saying, trust the plan, 40 chess. That does happen.
Right. Meanwhile, people are dying.
Yeah.
The people in Yemen are no less dead.
Right.
Because we're trusting the plan. Anyway. Right. So on the other side of the political aisle, the insanity that is the Democratic Party right now. Right. So this article is titled, Adam Schiff is an evil, bug-eyed fascist.
My God, he is. What the hell is going on with those eyes?
I don't know.
Why do, like, the people...
There's many weird eyes in
the... Like, the top echelons of corruption. They have these weird eyes.
Jeff Bezos, his eyes are, like, one's much bigger than the other. And, like, they seem to have different expressions. And a lot of them have really creepy, weirdo eyes.
Right.
Anyway, and Schiff is no exception to that. He has like these really weird bug eyes. And he always looks like he's stuck in the headlights. Maybe he is. Maybe, I don't know. Anyway, he's an asshole, and he's a fascist. He is totally 100% a fascist. And I'm not saying that like, you know, some episode of fucking The Young Ones, you know, where they love to call everyone a fascist. He is actually technically someone who...
Like, per definition.
Per definition is a fascist, yeah.
Why? Why are you saying that?
Well, okay, so Randy Credico, you know, the comedian, funny guy, who emotional guy, who is a little piece with on Jimmy Dore's show, he went to the you know, nerd prom and stuff, and
he got himself kicked out. Didn't he get like handcuffed and shit?
Yes.
because he was just like, we should support Julian Assange.
He felt an upwelling of emotion, which may or may not have had something to do with the free grog, and just felt so bad that they were all gathered in this beautiful place with all their beautiful dresses and stuff, and the greatest journalist, you know, on the planet was stuck in an embassy, like, without any internet. And so, yeah, he yelled it out.
What a sweetheart.
I just love that guy. I really love that guy. Anyway, so he is just heart-driven. Like, he really is. And so he went on MSNBC, and he said... he actually, in the course of the interview, said that he knew that Assange had information about the Russiagate scandal that would exonerate him, and that he happened to know that Assange wanted, you know, to talk to Adam Schiff about it, Mr. Russiagate himself, you know. So the MSNBC guy, to his credit, contacted Schiff's office, as his name was Ari Melber, and he got this response back. It was, our committee would be willing to interview Julian Assange when he is in U.S. custody, not before. Ew. Right. How gross is that, right? Right. U.S. custody for what, Adam? For a start, okay?
Well, he said some things about America that America didn't want people to know about.
Yeah, you fucking fascist. That's the only problem that he has with him. That is not, like, you know, in a real democracy, in an actual free country, journalists are allowed to make statements that go contrary to the establishment party line.
And they're allowed to publish leaked documents. Like, they do that. That's a thing.
That is actually...
New York Times, Washington Post, they do that constantly.
That's the fourth estate. You're meant to hold, like, truth to power. You're meant to bring transparency to government. That's, you know, if you believe in a free country, then you believe in those things, but clearly Mr. Schiff does not.
Well, you know, New York Times and Washington Post don't actually do that, and WikiLeaks does. That's the thing.
Well, they pretend to do that.
They pretend to, yeah.
I mean, and they're often WikiLeaks, like...
Yeah, Adam Schiff does not like WikiLeaks because WikiLeaks does the thing that American mainstream media says it does.
Right, yes. And often pretend, like, they literally pretend to do, they have, like, a secret source that we can't talk about, and that happens to just play along nicely with the whole establishment line.
Yeah, and just happens to work hand in fist, hand in glove with this neoconservative agenda against Russia that we've had in place ever since the fall of the Soviet Union.
Right. So I don't know if Adam Schiff has information. And this is something that, you know, like, this should make everyone fairly fearful, because as far as we know, the US does not have an extradition order out or any, like, actual, you know, they don't have him, any arrest warrants or anything out for him.
Yeah,
but because he hasn't actually done anything.
Right, but the UK government, when people ask, they refuse to say.
Yes.
Oh, we can't tell you that. Yeah, I'll bet you can't.
Yeah, right. Because, I mean, like, if they were to come out and say the things that they were going to arrest him for, that would look really fucking weird. That would look like a fascist state trying to, in a totalitarian way, trying to, you know, quash dissent and journalism. That would be like seeing it for what it actually is. So they can't actually say that out loud. But right. We do know that, you know, there was a photo taken of one of the cops outside the embassy and zoomed in on it. There are orders to arrest him on
site. No matter what.
As
soon as you see him, even if he has a diplomatic immunity thing, you are to arrest him anyway and violate Ecuador's sovereignty in doing so.
Right.
And really all they want is to get him out of that building. And officially they can legally arrest him on bail charges, even though he has served far longer than any reasonable amount of time for a bail violation.
Right. So that's what they'll get him on, and then they'll, you know, whatever. These guys do not give a shit about law. They only give a shit about the appearance of law. And you know, whatever. Like, they don't actually get care about Russiagate. This just proves he does not care actually what happened in terms
just
of the
just
leaks. Yeah, he just wants Julian Assange silenced and for the neocon agenda of, you know, escalating with Russia to continue.
Right, and Schiff has been one of the biggest voices in that. He's been...
from the beginning.
One of the major driving forces of the Russiagate narrative, that stupid-ass speech he gave on the House floor in the very beginning of the investigation that everyone just loved and thought he was amazing for. And he votes basically the same as the neocons on everything. He's supported every war since he got into office.
Yeah. You know, he was the first to say that on television that someone was carrying water for Putin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Tucker Carlson.
Right. Yeah. Remember that was like the beginning of 2017 or something like that, and Tucker Carlson was on there giving him a hard time about what he was saying he knew about the Russian intervention. He was like, you pretend that you know that, but you don't know that. And Adam Schiff was just like, hey, yeah, you're carrying water for the Kremlin there, you should go and work on Russian. He's got this feeble, bitchy, snidely way of talking.
Yeah,
you should go on RT, Russian television.
Yeah,
it's just such a sleaze.
But that was the beginning. Yeah, like, no one really said that on TV.
Right. At the time, that was jaw-dropping. At the time, that was like, whoa, can you believe he just said that? And now that's just like, that's what NBC is. Right. That's just anyone who says anything against the Democratic Party, against the establishment, against an intelligence agency, and any sort of amount of skepticism against the MSM style of reporting, anything.
Yeah. And that's what Adam Schiff does. Like, he basically, it's like, everyone else is like, oh, we can't do that. That will look so bad. That'll look really fascist. And he's like, hold my beer.
Yeah.
Isn't he?
Yeah, that's his job.
Yeah. He's done it over and over.
Go Iraq war, go Libya intervention, go Syria intervention, go arming Ukraine, go Russiagate, the whole thing. He's a neocon. He's a neocon with a D next to his name. They call him liberal interventionists, but that's just another way of saying neocon.
Yeah. And here's the thing, right? Like, there's this weird trope in the lefty thought about the fascist creep, like, you know, that we've got to keep an eye on all those rednecks in the MAGA hats because they, one day they might seize power for white supremacy. Oh my fucking God!
As if
white supremacy, as if this is not a country that was built on slavery. This country is built on white supremacy. It is white supremacy. It is controlled by white supremacists. And you can tell that by the way that the CIA operates, by the way the FBI operate. They will, you know, stamp out any dissent of civil rights. They incarcerate huge amounts of the black population. Oh my God! As if it's some outside force, like that people need to keep away. It is.
It's already here, guys.
That's it. Here. Like, corporatism, fascism, exactly the same thing, and we're living it. Like, even in Australia, we're living it from the echoes of the US government. Because
these Antifa people, the anti-fascist people, obviously skinheads marching in the street. Yeah, counter-protest, sure, fine. If that's something that you feel comfortable doing. But those are just some rednecks. You know, you're going down there and standing up to 11 rednecks. And they
are in no danger of getting any power whatsoever.
Right.
Like, they're so far from power.
If you were really anti-fascist and you really wanted to punch up, you would be on Capitol Hill every day.
Right.
You would be going after Adam Schiff.
Yeah, yes. Schiff is perfect. Yeah. Mm. And the way that they, you know, the power establishment that comes out of Washington, D.C., is, I mean, Mussolini would be proud. Oh, wow. Wouldn't he celebrate? He would jizz in his pants if he had the sort of control that these guys have over the population through psyops and through a manipulation of the media and through Hollywood, you know, propaganda, etc. And also just like through sheer force, military force through the police and through, you know, through the incarceration system. There's very little freedom left in the American system. Basically, everyone is enslaved to them, and they don't even know it. That's how good it is.
Right, yeah. The only difference between America's fascism and what most people think of when they see fascism, when they say fascism, is illusion. Yeah. Like, fascism is generally like a one-party state. America is a one-party
state. It is. Absolutely, it just is.
They put a D and an R in the different seats.
Yeah, you try and be a third party and you'll find out that it's a one-party state. Like, they don't care as long as it's one guy with two puppets on. It's the same fucking thing.
Yeah, or you try to... You say, oh, well, our media can dissent. Can they?
Can they? Wow. Maybe they should then.
It would be cool to see that happen.
Yeah, no, the media's divided up in the same way. There's a red team and a blue team, and so there's the illusion of dissent because you're allowed to dissent on various issues that you know will never, ever, ever make a difference anyway. Like, they're kind of the Chinese... finger trap issues where people just keep pulling harder on them, and then they're just basically there for, you know, outrage porn. But then no real change will happen. Right. Under the current system, no change will happen.
Yeah, you have to change the system if you want the change. But it's fascism. It is what we have now is fascism. You have to get rid of the whole thing before there can be any change. Right now, it's fascism that knows when to wave a rainbow flag in order to score some political points. Exactly. That's all it is.
Yes. Yeah. It's just smart fascism.
Yeah. It's refined fascism.
Yeah.
It's fascism with a Harvard education.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. And a degree in psychology as well.
Yeah.
So anyway. Yeah.
Shall we wrap?
Adam Schiff. Fuck you.
Fuck you, Adam Schiff.
Yeah.
Caitlin is an entirely reader and listener-supported journalist, so if you want to support her podcasts and articles, the best way to do that is via Patreon and PayPal. Links in the description. Follow Caitlin on Steemit, on Medium, or on CaitlinJohnston.com, where you can get on an email mailing list so you can get a notification whenever she publishes an article. You have been listening to Going Rogue.
Shine on, beautiful people.
Thanks, y'all.
Katie, oh Katie. Who are you pissing off now? Katie, oh Katie, your words are making them howl. You're trying to spread truth, but they don't want to hear it, and we don't think that's right. Keep talking, Katie, oh Katie, who are you pissing off now? Shady, they're so shady. They're lying straight to our face. But maybe, oh maybe, the truth they'll finally embrace. But the man on the TV says you're batshit crazy, and they paint you as a fool. Keep fighting, Katie, oh Katie, who are you pissing off now? We love you, Katie, oh Katie. Our pretty Aussie flower. Love you, girlfriend.